For the school pickup. For the early run home. For the still stuck at work. Welcome. This is the Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete. Perth's Mix 94.5. This Rush Hour catch up is for Southside Mitsubishi. End of year sale.
Don't panic. You don't need $1 million to retire well. It's the new edition, new book at all good news agents and bookstores or Google to buy it online as well. And the guy behind it, Nick Bruning, joins us on the Rush Hour. G'day, mate.
Hey, guys, how you going?
Nick, look, much better now after seeing an article. After seeing an article for this in the newspaper this week, the first thing that jumped out at me was where it says you don't need $1 million to retire. And then you gave a figure that sounded so much more achievable. The sense of relief was palpable.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, Lisa. Look, the reality is that people are pushing this million-dollar myth are basically folks that make money out of us investing. So we're talking about super funds and financial advisors who stand to make about 1% per year. So every 100,000 you can put into super means an extra $1,000 in fees per year for them. So the idea is that when you actually look at the retirement income system, we're about number three in the world, apparently. And that's because we have a system that combines the social security system, or Centrelink, with our superannuation and our savings to produce an overall retirement income, which is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And when you say pretty damn good, what do you mean exactly? Like, what makes it pretty damn good?
Well, look, most retired couples spend somewhere between about $40,000 and $55,000 on their basic cost of living. Now, in the early years of retirement, you're running around going nuts. But, of course, as we get a bit older into our 70s and 80s, things wear out and bits drop off. But the amount of money you actually need starts to come down a little bit. So what we show is that by understanding how the system works, with about 270 grand lump sum, you generate $48,000 per annum, which is tax-free, goes up with inflation, and it's basically using reasonably safe investments. And that's because about 36,000 of that comes from the Centrelink system, and the rest we make up with our investment earnings. So, you know, it's way short of the $1 million.
Yes.
And that's without including the discounts that you get with the pension concession cards and stuff.
Yeah, because when I saw the $1 million being bandied about, I thought, oh, what's the point? I'm not going to be able to afford to retire. I can't afford to die. I can't afford to do anything. How important is it to have paid off a home or something by this stage?
And there are some really important sort of assumptions in this, and that is that you are in a position where you're debt-free, and that's one of the key things, is to make sure that you're debt-free by the time you retire. And if you cannot own your own home, that's also a good position to be in. So part of it is talking about getting ready for retirement and making sure we're in that position of being entirely debt-free. Mm. But, you know, my issue is that people get spooked when they're in their 50s, perhaps in their late 40s or 60s, they don't have the $1 million, and suddenly they're getting sucked into doing some really risky investments, end up losing, you know, the lot, and they're in an even worse position.
Nick, I'm not quite there yet. I'm in my 30s, right?
Yep.
But look, it does.
I'm closer.
I'm closer still.
But it does cross my mind, right? Considering what I've seen over the last decade in how this stuff has changed and the regulations have gotten a lot tighter. And it's the sort of thing where I kind of go, okay, when it is my turn and I get to retirement age, are we even going to have a pension or something like that?
That is a great question, Pete. And look, one of the great other myths that's put out there is that there's not going to be a pension. And look, the reality is this. When we actually look at the projections done by Treasury, so this is some Muppet that's made these numbers up. These are people that know their stuff. You can see that the age pension currently sits at around about just under 3% of GDP or gross domestic product. Now, even with the worst possible scenario, and that is that the age pension age doesn't increase, the home is still exempt from the asset test, all that stuff, the most it gets to is about 3.8%. That's out by 2050. So the other reality is politics. What government, what political party is going to say we're going to cancel everyone's pension? They last about 5 minutes.
Yeah, we need to take a breath sometimes and think about the reality of it. Some scare tactics.
Most of them have now got super, and all that super is piling in, and that'll mean that most people won't get a full pension, but certainly everyone should be able to qualify for a part pension.
All right. Well, Nick, you've done my mental health the world of good with this book. It's available at all good newsagents and bookstores, or you can Google it to get one online.
Absolutely. Nick Bruning, don't panic. That'll get you to it.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, guys.
It's the Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete.
Short report, Lise.
Okay, so Tom Cruise is being replaced in the small screen adaptation of Jack Reacher because he's too short. In the books on which the films are based, Jack Reacher, is described as a 6 foot five man with hands the size of dinner plates. Tom is 5 foot seven. There's too many jokes.
Are you sure?
And I'm trying to be nice today. Look, but I mean, Jack Reacher. Yeah. It makes sense that he's short because he's always reaching for stuff.
Up.
Give the little fella a break. During a recent appearance on the show Watch What Happens Live, Zoe Kravitz, who is Lenny Kravitz and Lisa Bonet's daughter, and you may know her from Big Little Lies, didn't have anything nice to say about Lily Allen. She even pretended not to know who she was. It was after Kravitz was asked about Lily's memoir, My Thoughts Exactly, in which she claims she and Kravitz kissed at a party once.
Who was Lily Allen?
I guess she didn't mourn you.
No, you don't.
Okay. So
if by kissing she means like attacking, then yes.
Oh.
She kissed me.
Oh.
I don't like Lily.
She
attacked me.
So but is that how she portrayed it in the book?
No.
No.
Like I wanted it.
Right. Oh wow. Did you read the book?
I don't think anybody read the book.
Okay.
How dare she? If you will never be as talented as Lily Allen, Zoe Kravitz. I'm a little bit biased because I'm a big Lily Allen fan. Jennifer Aniston plays an aging beauty queen in the first trailer for the Dolly Parton-produced Dumplin'. The clip introduces viewers to Willow Dean, a.k.a. Dumplin', the Dolly Parton-loving plus-size daughter of Aniston's pageant queen character. Working
This must be your daughter.
That's my daughter's best friend.
This is my daughter, Willa Dean.
Wow. Okay.
And that's when I decided enough was enough.
I know that look. What's going on?
I think I'm going to sign up for the pageant.
Ooh.
Dumplin' debuts on Netflix on December 7th. It sounds like Honey Boo Boo, the movie.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Shawn Mendes has credited. Can I just share what the problem is?
Please do.
I'm working with a new font.
Yeah. What font is it?
Bookman Old.
You should be working with
but
Comic Sans.
But I've gone from Comic Sans.
Yeah.
Anyway. Font talk. Shawn Mendes has credited Taylor Swift with helping him conquer the anxiety he used to feel about performing live. He says Swiftie helped him see that being a performer isn't about being perfect. It's about enjoying the ride. If people see you on stage having fun, then they'll have fun too. Bit like you at the Rockstar the other night, Petey.
I am the 2018 Shawn Mendes.
In other news today, Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton are having a baby through a surrogate. Drew Carey and his fiancée have split after less than 1 year. And Rob Kardashian says he can no longer afford $20,000 a month in child support. He wants Blac Chyna to pay him instead. A broke Kardashian is almost as rare as a modest Kardashian.
The Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete.
For Southside Mitsubishi end of year sale, on now. For better deals and better service, better see Southside, southsidemitsubishi.com.au.
It's The Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete.
What unusual thing do you always keep on your person?
As we learn that Prince Charles, who is infatuated by the Scottish red squirrel, keeps nuts in his pockets.
Dead set. It's a thing. We got Jason in Naranda. Hello, mate. What do you keep on your person?
I've got my daughter's first tooth that she lost. I've got it bronzed, and I keep it in my pocket or my wallet.
Aww.
It's a keepsake for me wherever I go because I'm constantly working, so I don't spend a great amount of time to spend with my kids. I wish I did more, but this is a bit of a keepsake for myself.
That's so cute. She must have had to do a deal with the tooth fairy to retain it.
Mm. Yeah, we're tooth fairy pay for the bronzing.
Thanks, Jason.
Good on you, mate. Anne in Two Rocks, what do you always keep on your person?
I keep a crystal.
Oh, what kind of crystal?
Sometimes amethyst, sometimes rose quartz. It just depends.
What does it depend on? What is it? Why?
Just where I'm at mood-wise, because I suffer with panic attacks.
Yeah.
And I find if I have that on me, it just seems to calm me a bit if I hold it. Or if I haven't got a pocket, I put it in my bra, so it's always with me wherever I go.
Yeah, wow.
I wore an amethyst little sort of pyramid-shaped crystal around my neck for years.
Yeah,
what happened to it? That's not good.
Thanks, Anne.
Thanks, Anne.
Maxine in 2J, what do you always keep on your person?
I always keep in my handbag a back scratcher.
scratcher that folds down to a smaller size than a hairbrush.
Oh, yes. Well, you're a genius.
And I've only just used it just before I rang. I was at the lights at Beachborough and I had an itch and I just brought it out of the bag and scratched away.
There is nothing worse than an itch on your back that you can't reach from the top or the bottom.
And Lisa, you know, it's portable. You could use it for anything, really. Let's face
you don't have to tell me, Maxine.
Maxine.
I've got one in my handbag and on the coffee table, you know, the sort of the bowl of all sorts of stuff that you have on your coffee.
Yeah. And I kid you not, the first year we worked together, I was complaining that my back was itchy and she pulled one out and just stretched it out and went, here you go.
It's cemented our relationship.
It really.
You're not always with someone who can use their fingers on your back.
That's
so
right.
I've got my own little hand in my bag.
Oh, that's extraordinary.
I hear you.
Nice.
With you from 3 p.m. weekdays, it's the Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete on Perth's Mix 94.5. That Rush Hour catch-up was for Southside Mitsubishi end-of-year sale.